March 25th, 1991, 3 p.m., Hearing Room 357, House Committee on Judiciary, Subcommittee on Family Justice.
That's okay, I'm going to walk. I will spend some time
Our talking. Agenda today is short and lengthy.
I get to keep that sign if I
You get to keep that sign if you earn it.
If
your behavior warrants it, you may keep it.
Otherwise it goes back to Chair Bond. Our agenda today consists of House Bill 2388. This is the testing or non-testing of pregnant women. And we've been through this bill a couple of times, committee, and today we have some decisions to make. We are in work session on House Bill 2388. There was a working group. You remember we created a working group at the time of the last committee meeting to go out and bring us back some options and some alternatives, and they have done that. And the working group consisted of Representative Bauman, Representative Mannix, and Representative Parks, and we appreciate you folks spending the extra time on that working group. We also appreciate the folks who are interested in this legislation participating in that working group as well. I think the easiest way to do this for those of us who were not in that working group, I have to ask those of you who were to sort of be patient while council takes us through the packet that you have in front of you and the variety of definitions and choices in front of us. It is the chair's intention to move some aspect of House Bill 2388 today, and as I said before, it's up to the committee what it looks like. So, learned counsel, can you take us through the packet in an overview fashion, and then we'll work through the issues one by one?
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I'd like to do is begin by reviewing section by section in summary fashion the bill as it came to us, just to kind of set the stage. House Bill 2388 was introduced at the request of the Governor's Task Force on Pregnancy and Substance Abuse. Section 1 of the printed bill establishes testing requirements for controlled substances in pregnant women. It has been described as a universal testing procedure in that it was part of a generic or part of a statutory scheme that currently requires women to be tested for syphilis and have other tests done during pregnancy. Sections 2 and 3 of the bill are new sections of law that the bill would establish, which require that test results would be reported to the health division, which would then notify a local health department who would perform a drug and alcohol assessment on the individual and refer them to counseling services. There is also in Section 2 and 3 of the bill, as printed, an indication that the results of the test would not be used for criminal purposes, and at that point it was limited to criminal purposes only. Section 4 of the bill is also new language and would establish testing requirements for controlled substances at birth of both a mother and child. Consent would be required unless the infant exhibited symptoms of drug abuse. Section 5 gives the Department of Human Resources the ability to issue grants that follow in Sections 6, 7, and 8, which set out county grant programs to the development of treatment programs. Sections 9, 10, and 11 of the printed bill have appropriations to the Health Division, the Office of Alcohol and Drug, and DHR to implement the various provisions of the bill. That's page 1 of your handout. The working group and staff was taking some, I would say, initiative only in following up on some discussions that the committee had, has come up with 7 amendments. There are dash 8 amendments, but one amendment, as it came up from Legislative Council, was not correct, and so we just deleted it and went forward.
Council, what I'd like you to do is go through these one by one and then stop at the end of each one, and let's kick them around, talk about them, and ask questions.
Mr. Chair, if I could in some way, though, go over them briefly, because they do overlap in some places, but we can.
Okay, if you can go over them in an overview fashion and come back through them in some detail.
The dash 1 amendments basically deletes sections 1 and 2 of the bill, which is the prenatal testing requirements, and only requires that the healthcare provider make the referrals based on the currently required assessment to the health division and provides a definition of healthcare provider. You will find in your packet, and this I think will become important at some point, copies of the spill, the laws that currently exist regarding assessments that are currently supposed to be informed, performed. The Dash 2 amendments establish that any test results, any test assessment or written plan would be confidential, but it does allow healthcare providers to report to CSD and I think also to, I mean, the health division and then to CSD if that part stays in without violating confidentiality. The Dash 3 amendments just adds the same definition that you would see in the Dash 1 amendments, which is a definition of healthcare provider. 4 establishes a legislative policy building on the 89 adopted policy regarding the information of information by providers to pregnant women regarding the effects of alcohol, tobacco, and controlled substances on the development of the fetus. What the Dash 4 amendments do that is significant is establish that there be specific informed consent for prenatal testing and provides a consent form. Section 5 is what has become our infamous non-severability clause, which basically says that the testing provisions and the funding provisions have to stay together and that the testing provisions would not become operative unless the funding provisions become operative, obviously with the recognition that that could ultimately be amended out, but would at least would encompass the committee's desires. Section 6, which are the Dash 7 amendments, talk about the development of a standardized risk assessment tool and training in that tool, which is consistent with the risk assessment that is currently supposed to be done. And the Dash 8 amendments develop or would establish immunity for healthcare providers who refer to the health division. So, turning then, you will also find in your packet copies of the current law as well as an unamended version of the bill. And the other thing that I've done so that the committee can follow along is after every set of amendments, you will see a hand engrossed copy so that you can get a sense of what the bill would look like if it was amended per the amendments. The committee should also note that the fiscal came up this morning based on the current language of the bill. I have not had a chance to, the numbers were so overwhelming that I didn't really have a chance to figure out what effects the committee's amendments would have on it.
On the fiscal analysis, if the committee will indulge the chair on this, I think it might be wise if we hold off substantial discussion on the fiscal analysis until we decide what the final version of the bill looks like.
I agree.
We may need to fight that battle, but let's not fight it unless we need to. So with the committee's indulgence, we'll just hold off on the fiscal analysis for right now. 17 million here, 17 million there. Although in revenue this morning we lost $30 million over the weekend, so just because of a new report. So, all right. I think probably the easiest way to do this, committee, is to go through the hand-engrossed versions of each proposal and kind of try and identify these as 7 separate bills. And, Council, if you can walk us through those.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to.
And then, committee, feel free to jump in with questions as we go through this, remembering that we are in work session. Council, is it fair to say that at some point we're going to need to adopt one of the 7 versions as a working vehicle or some combination of them?
No, Mr. Chair. I think that what we could do is adopt them into the original bill.
All of them?
All of them. I mean, at some point we will end up with a dash.
I see. Some of them are mutually exclusive.
No, actually, some of them are some of them are mutually exclusive. Some of them are redundant.
All right. So what we need to do is go by. Basically, we need to go through one by one and make policy choices.
But we need to go one by one on each one. There's not one that's a significant enough rewrite that it would help to do that.
All right. Then let's start with the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay.
The Dash 1 amendments, as I understand it, committee, take out the requirement, basically the comprehensive testing. If that happens, Council, what's left?
What's left is that if the what's left is that if a provider were to become aware, if during routine pregnancy, and what I'm reading from is the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/18/91, for the purposes of your packet, the written amendments precede the hand engrossed. So you might want to pull them apart, but the written amendments come and then the hand engrossed version follows. Under the Dash 1 proposal, if during routine pregnancy or prenatal care, the attending provider determines that the patient uses or abuses drugs or alcohol or uses a controlled substance other than at the direction of a physician or that they acknowledge it, which could in fact arise under the assessments that currently need to be done, then the healthcare provider shall report that determination to the health division in the same manner as other reports of reportable diseases. And then at that point, the health division, then the bill kicks in on page 2, line 12, and the health division at that point would notify the local health department of the report, who would then assign a health care provider to do the assessment and the other things to follow up.
All right. The dash ones then also include the potential referral to CSD.
Yes.
Those provisions remain.
The Dash 1 amendments are silent on the issue of testing at birth. The only other thing that the Dash 1 amendments do add is the definition of healthcare provider. This definition comes from Oregon Administrative Rule as it applies currently to reportable conditions and other kinds of things, and I think is consistent with what the Health Division is accustomed to working with.
All right. So, committee, Dash 1 amendments delete the controversial testing requirements altogether. State that if during routine prenatal care, provider becomes aware or the patient acknowledges drug use, then you get the report to Health Division, potential report to CSD, and definition of health care provider. Any questions on what the Dash 1 amendments do? Representative Sunseri. I'm sorry, Representative Edmondson had a question, then Representative Sunseri, then Representative Bell.
Section, just looking at section 2, I also have a question on section 4. Pretty much the doctor, the physician, doesn't exercise any judgment or discretion in it. He says, well, now, are you drinking, you're not using any, drinking any wine, alcohol, and she goes, well, I had a glass of white wine 2 months ago. Is that... That's the any indication triggers an automatic assessment or referral. I think the physician should have some judgment in there.
Mr. Chairman,
there
on
is.
That point.
Okay, Representative, do you want to respond to that point?
Yeah, there is a language problem there that I've already marked up because it should be uses or abuses drugs or abuses alcohol.
Right.
And we need to clarify that. I think that would answer your question.
Yeah, that would be my
next question, Representative.
The healthcare provider is going to do the assessment. Is that correct? Another healthcare provider will do an assessment.
The provider, yes.
Okay.
At that point, the healthcare provider is the person providing prenatal care. Then the person that does the assessment, if you look in the bill. At that point, the provisions of the bill kick in terms of the local health division doing the assessment.
Okay, I guess my question is, the administrator or manager of a clinic, I'm looking at this definition of healthcare provider, and it seems to me some of these people might not be health professionals. I don't want the bookkeeper at the Bend prenatal clinic handling these sorts of things. Nothing against Bend, I just happen to be there this weekend.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, there's absolutely, the only point that I was attempting to make, that needs to be made, is that there needed to be a definition.
I agree.
And we just pulled that one out because it was there.
Okay.
So it can certainly be amended.
Representative Sunseri.
I guess my concern has been on page 2, line 24. This is the agency may refer the woman to local health department now.
Page 2 of the printed bill?
Correct.
Okay.
Are we using... we're going to use may refer or shall refer. You said, Mr. Chairman, we get to.
Where are you? Line 14?
To line
24.
24. By what line?
24.
Page 2, line 24. The agency may refer the woman to the local health department.
Chairman.
So I guess my concern is, are we going to end up with some doctors that are inclined to refer, some that aren't, and the people are going to find out who those are? And
okay. Mr. Chairman,
if
I can respond to that point.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative Mannix.
The distinction here is between a public agency, which may be a welfare office, for example. It just authorizes referral by just about anybody who may come into contact to say, hey, I think you got a problem. I'm going to refer you to the health department. That's not a mandatory referral. It's no assessment. There's no medical opinion given. The operative language for physicians is Section 2 on the amendment section. This is just a catch-all that says, hey, if the welfare office thinks that you're really on drugs and wants to help you out and refer you to the health department, they may do so. You can ignore them. And they could ignore you without any liability.
If you look at line 11 of the Dash 1 amendments, Representative Cesari, the word shall is used there. So I think the policy determination that's made in the Dash 1 amendments is a deletion of the universal testing requirements in exchange for mandatory reporting if in the routine prenatal care a health provider determines that the patient uses or abuses.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Bell and then Representative Parks.
Couple of questions just to catch up here. Now, if we're doing away with the universal testing, what are we talking about on the amendment number 7 that talks about the assessment that has to be done within 10 days?
Right now, when we say we're doing away with it, that's just a proposal that's in the Dash 1 amendments. We're going to work through
all these amendments aren't meant to be harmonious with each other?
We're going to have to cut and paste. Some of these are mutually exclusive.
No.
Some of these are mutually exclusive.
Some of these, but these aren't. But okay. Dash 7 are not with these.
Dash 7 raises a different issue.
No. Okay. Under Section 2, then, of this amendment, won't this referral do the same thing as what we were talking about? If people know the doctor is going to determine they have a drug problem and they're going to be referred, weren't we worried about having that scare them away from prenatal care?
Well,
I don't know
I think that that's,
what where we're getting at here, what okay. we're trying to accomplish.
Okay, I appreciate the concern, Representative Parks and Representative Bell, and I think that that's something that when we get ready to decide which of these amendments, if any of them, we want to adopt, that's something that you may want to advocate.
Also,
one way
the question
other.
Is, can a referral under these circumstances be used later on in some other kinds of...
That's another amendment.
Okay.
There's another amendment to that effect.
Those issues are all addressed in other amendments.
You're not going to ask us to vote on these until we've talked through all of them.
We're going to talk through all of them, and then we're going to start moving. Okay. Representative Mannix, did you have a comment?
My observation is it's important to note that, yes, it's important to walk through all of these because then people will get a feeling of security with certain elements of this.
Sense for how it fits.
And then, of course, the final bill will have to vote up or down based on what level of security or comfort you've arrived at as far as the interlocking provisions.
Representative Parks.
I was going to make the same observations Representative Bell made about the frightening people off from taking the test.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellman.
Just a comment on, I think counsel has answered this concern. 433.008 discusses the division's capacity to, determination that the division or local public health administrator may disclose the person's name and address to persons other than a fairly narrow list stated if clear and convincing evidence in the particular instance requires disclosure to avoid a clear and immediate danger to other individuals.
Where are you reading from? I'm sorry.
I'm looking at
current
law. It's not in your packet. It's the reporting. It's the mandatory reporting
Obvious.
Of diseases. No, it's 433.004 reportable diseases section. So I want to make sure that we track that as well. Maybe we should have a copy of that in our materials.
Any around?
David.
We'll get a copy of that.
I just want to mark that because I know that we can accept it in the bill, but I don't want us to fail to accept it if that's the committee's intent.
Further questions or comments about the Dash 1 amendment? If everybody feel like they at least understand it, then we will revisit it. Okay, Council, Dash 2.
Dash 2 leaves the current testing provisions as they are written in the bill, but state that the results of any test, assessment, or written plan are confidential and shall not be subject to disclosure without voluntary or informed consent of any patient and shall not be admissible in any proceeding, which means that they would not be admissible in criminal proceedings, civil proceedings, juvenile court proceedings, any kind of proceedings that one can conceive of. There, I also did a hand-engrossed amendment to the dash twos because I think that if Section 4 does not get amended, and there's an issue in there about reporting to the health division as well as CSD, then I think that a healthcare provider would not be considered in violation of any law if they made a report to the health division as well as CSD. So this just deals with the issue of confidentiality.
All right, so the dash two amendments go the other direction, committee. They leave the testing provision in, but strengthen the confidentiality portions of the other bill so that not only can they not, the results not be used for criminal proceedings, but can't be used for juvenile or civil proceedings either, i.e. termination of parental rights.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
One other takeoff on that is that you can add on the protective requirements of the dash two amendments to the dash one package because it is still possible that a physician will suggest
right.
a test or and we certainly will have a plan developed on referral so that you
right.
could have this confidentiality built
the second
into
portion
that.
Of that may be a good idea whether or not the committee decides to leave the testing requirements in. Representative Edmondson.
Are there administrative proceedings, counsel, that might be relevant? I'm thinking of women who may be, or men who may be on aided, welfare type, programs, unemployment claims, things where drug testing, become using it in entry sense.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edmondson, I can't think of any.
Well, we just had a.
But I mean, I can't think.
Full committee last week that says if you
unemployment testing
and
they're conceivable. I mean, it to cover all your bases. If you wanted to insert or administrative proceedings, you
it's
might.
It's just a sort of universal
right.
protection.
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody understand what the dash twos do? Mm-hmm. Council dash three is simply the definition of healthcare provider.
Correct.
Can you explain to us what, if any, policy ramifications are wrapped up in that definition?
No, it's just that it was the sense that the bill came to us without a definition, and that it was important that it be in one, and we just took the only other one that we could find came out of the tort claim section that talks about who can and can't have punitive damages and.
Mr. Chair, would you like us to comment on these provisions as we go through them?
If you've got, if you've got relevant questions or comments, let's go through.
I want to comment on this because I raised this earlier. My own feeling is that the healthcare provider we're talking about here is the one who's providing the direct services, and or one who is a practitioner. And to include supervisors, administrators, superintendents, and managers of clinics seems to me to go far beyond the scope of what we're trying to do. In the other context, it may be fully appropriate.
Right. You want something like an attending physician.
Yes. So it means a person who has direct responsibility for the delivery of health care and medical services.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Edmondson.
Somebody like that.
Council.
Yes.
The only comment I would make is that you might want to leave in administrators only in that the person that works in the office that picks up the phone that makes the phone call.
Well,
I mean, just it's superintendents and managers, I can understand. I'm not sure.
Representative Mannix.
They've become an agent of the.
I think both things fit together. I agree with Representative Edmondson about taking out the language. Secondly, anyone who picks up the phone and makes that call should have done so at the request of the medical provider and as the agent of the medical provider, so they would be covered anyway. And I think later on we should be talking about excising that administrative line.
So lines 7.75 through 10 are sort of looked on with disfavor by some members. All right, dash 3 amendments, fairly straightforward. Any other questions on the dash 3? Council, dash 4.
I'm also open to other suggestions. That was the toughest part, was the fighting health care providers.
No, I think it's good to...
dash 4. What the dash 4 amendments do is leave in the testing requirement, but require There's four.
Specific informed consent.
But require specific informed consent as set out in the form. And let me just kind of walk you through.
Council, again, to follow up on something or the kind of point that Representative Mannix made earlier, theoretically, this specific informed consent could be used in the dash two amendments as well.
They could be used in the...
In any of the amendments where the testing stays in.
Correct. Okay. And in actuality, in looking at the Hand and Gross bill, I neglected to really kind of stick it in there. And so that we'll need to work with this. But the concept is first a legislative policy that talks about why we're doing this and that specific informed consent is necessary and that it's a confidential test intended solely for offering treatment where appropriate. That's lines 11 and 12 of the dash 4 amendments. Then it goes on to say that every licensed physician or other healthcare provider shall provide information and that they should have testing be done, and that if testing, that testing shall be done within the first 10 days and subsequently so that there are test results gotten throughout the course of a pregnancy to get past the issue of a single test and a single false positive. And then starting in subsection 4 on page 7 of page 2, this talks about what the consent would look like, and there's a form there. And it basically says, please read and check off the appropriate boxes. I have been counseled and received information on the effects. I agree to testing. I have received information regarding the nature of substance abuse and information regarding treatment. I recognize that my medical records are confidential with the following exception, that if I test positive, the provider is required by law to report positive test results to the public health agencies. And then the only other, the one mistake that I did make in this was that there's a page 3 of the dash 4 amendments on line 8. It says, I understand that public services cannot be denied to me if I refuse to consent to testing. If the committee were to adopt this kind of specific informed consent approach, then that affirmative duty to apply, to continue to offer services also has to be reflected in the main part of the bill, and I forgot to do that. And then it just gets signed and witnessed.
Right. Dash 4 then proposes to keep the testing in with some specific informed consent language and a form to use. Questions about the dash 4 amendments? Representative Parks.
The way you first phrased it was, Holly, requires the test and then specific informed consent. That's really what number 4 does. It really requires the test.
It requires the test so long as informed consent is given, and then if it's not, you don't do the test.
Which is to say, in other words, it's not linked. Right now, people sign a document that says that there's going to be a whole bunch of testing done, and some of the testimony we received, you might remember, was that there's a whole bunch of things in there. This would pull the testing out, the drug testing, into a much more specific kind of consent that would be a separate document the person would have to read and sign separately. The policy proposal in the dash 4 is that you need to make people aware that they're going to be tested, specifically aware, and then they can acquiesce or refuse.
Sure.
Representative Bell.
Do the dash 4 amendments address when referral would be made, now, you know, if they're doing a series of testing?
It would, the referral for the subsequent assessment would be done as soon as the test results were made.
The first one or?
Any of them. I mean, if, depending upon when there's a test or a determination made that there is a potential problem, then you would kick into what is now subsection 3 of the bill, which says if you have an indication that there is a problem, then the referral to the public health, the health division and a public health nurse assessment would be done.
So this one is requiring more testing throughout the pregnancy rather than the initial only.
If it was agreed to, yes. And the issue or the concern there was it didn't necessarily make sense to do one test up front. And so that if you were to do it and you were monitoring or something, that the availability or the option to continue to do testing once you were agreed to be tested would in fact be there. It wouldn't be mandatory. You still would need consent every time it would be done. But to address the concern about a single test at the fourth month when you can avoid them, just okay. Thank you.
All right. Other questions about the dash fours?
One question, Representative Baumann. I think there's no real commitment to the legislative purpose language anywhere here, but it does strike me as odd that in our legislative purpose for testing language, we leave out what the testimony was from the task force, which was that there needed to be some proof of prevalency in order to stimulate creation of adequate treatment availability. And there's really no commentary about the purpose of testing being to establish sort of the baseline so that we can pull treatment up to the level of need.
I tried. This confidential test is intended solely for offering treatment services where appropriate was my best shot, but that can certainly...
Work group, what I'd be doing is simply proposing to the committee what the work group worked out as a final concept. Can I try that on you?
Sure.
From the dash one amendments and I'll make this one motion, I'll run through it. On the dash one amendments, we would add abuses alcohol on line 9 as Representative. Someone on this committee pointed out it should be uses or abuses drugs or abuses alcohol. That's one minor correction. As Representative Edmondson pointed out, delete administrator, superintendent, and managers of healthcare facilities, leaving in for the moment a listing of types of healthcare providers, that we would adopt the dash one amendments, which call for, as present law calls for, a risk assessment, but then calls for a report of that determination. That would be the first part. You're looking at your patient, you're making I'll call it the phase one risk assessment, and if you make a determination that there's a problem, that you report it to the health department. You would then have the remaining follow-up where the health department does a drug and alcohol assessment, which is not just a risk assessment, but then assesses the actual problem. It would call for a written plan of services relating to any drug or alcohol problems. All of the protections that are already in there in terms of that assessment process should remain in there. Now, the requirement of testing should be deleted. That's all built in. There's no mandatory testing, as we've already agreed. You would pick up with the dash two amendments with the protection of the section that requires the results of any test, et cetera, will not be used, and pick up with Representative Edmondson's comment that in the dash two, lines 5 through 8, we would add administrative proceedings.
Okay, hold on then. So you're suggesting that we start with dash one, that we make a few minor changes to the dash one, along the definition of healthcare provider and the phrase abuses alcohol in line 9, then you're suggesting that we go to the dash 2, the portions of the dash 2 that deal with the confidentiality and what the results can't be used for.
That's right.
Okay.
We see a hand right here from Council.
Council.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, on my hand of gross amendments of the dash one, I did not delete subsection or section 3 of the bill.
I was waiting for that, and I want you to.
I want that on the record, and I want the committee clear.
What was section 4 and is now marked as section 3 would not be included.
Would not be included in the bill, because
all of that
critical.
Testing would be deleted.
All right. I was fairly sure that that's what you intended, but I wanted that
everybody real clear about that.
But as an option along the way, someone may agree to some testing, and that's up to the physician-patient relationship. But if there are any tests done, and definitely with the assessment or written plan, and we are requiring an assessment, and if there's a referral, then a written plan, that those are going to be protected by the confidentiality provisions. That would tie in, that's that part of the Dash 2 amendments would be tied into this bill.
Representative Edmondson.
Council, would it be correct to say that the Health Division, under the Dash 2 amendments, the Health Division or the Children's Services Division could not, those agencies could not disclose these test results either? The confidentiality provision extends to the agencies, so there's secondary confidentiality, because we have, notwithstanding in both provisions that the physician shall not have violated confidentiality if he reports to Health Division or to CSD. But do you read the confidentiality language to extend to CSD and Health Division as well?
Bless me.
Well,
I mean, can they talk to each other?
Well, no, they can talk to each other, but I don't want CSD calling up Officer Jones and saying, well, now the doctor disclosed it to CSD, but CSD isn't subject to the confidentiality restrictions.
The way I have posed it is CSD is subject to the confidentiality restrictions, and in fact, normally won't be getting access to this information.
I just want to make sure that real clear as a matter of record. So. Council, is that your understanding?
That's my understanding. And in actuality, if Section 3 comes out, then, in fact, I think that
we're only using lines 5 through 12 of Dash 12.
Then we don't need the second part of the Dash 2 amendments.
Lines 5 through 12 of Dash 2 is what I'm relying on in this package.
Okay, so you're just doing 5 through 12?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I want to make sure that we're not losing folks here. Everyone, all subcommittee members tracking?
No, I didn't get the. What are we keeping in the
first,
two?
First part, we're requiring the risk assessment by the provider, and if the provider determines that there is that it is appropriate to make the referral based on that risk assessment, that the report shall be made to the health department. Then we're requiring the health department, health division, excuse me, to do the drug and alcohol risk assessment on that referral. And that's relating to any drug or alcohol problems. We are deleting any mandatory testing whatsoever in this whole process. We're also saying, though, that in case there are any tests, but definitely for the risk assessment or any plan that's developed, that the strict confidentiality provisions will apply. That's the parts we're into so far.
Mr. Chair. And that...
To make sure I understand it, what you did was you took two out of one... as the basic assessment, then after the person's referred to the health department or whatever, human resources, another assessment is made.
There's a difference between a risk assessment and a drug and alcohol assessment. Risk assessment is, there's some risk factors here, I've identified a risk. That's one type of assessment. Then there's a second, once there's been a referral, I've made this risk, you're at risk. Referral is made to the health division. They do a drug and alcohol assessment of the pregnant woman, which is a different type of assessment, broader, deeper, and they develop a written plan. So that's phase two, if the referral's been made. They may also, on further evaluation, say, your risk assessment was off. Thank you very much. This is the end of the conversation.
But, Representative Mass, if I'm understanding that what you're saying, everything that you've described would be confidential.
Yes, all of it.
Representative Parks.
But it's at that point that I think the woman should be informed exactly what the purpose of the is going on, what her rights are, and the confidentiality.
I suspect he's going to get to that.
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
All right, Representative Mannix. So that finishes with the Dash 2.
That's correct.
Amendments. You don't need the Dash 3 amendments because you've got it.
Council stopping us for some reason.
Yeah, I just want to be clear about something. So then, if I'm correct, then on the Dash 2s, from lines 13 down are not needed.
That's right.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Dash 3s is
chair
recommended.
Dash 3s at all.
No Dash 3s.
Dash 4. Representative Ballin.
Before we leave the Dash 1 and Dash 2s, I'm still concerned about existing law with regard to reportable diseases, and that's why we've all got this section with the general provisions in front of us, because I asked committee staff to copy them.
It's not a reportable disease anymore.
Well, if we refer to this as being shall report the determination or acknowledgement to the health division. This is the dash ones on page 12, or on line 12. Shall report in the same manner as reports of reportable diseases are made under ORS 433.004. And I just want to make it clear that there is no circumstance in the situation that we're referring to where 433.008 sub 2 would ever apply.
All that this bill would require, Mr. Chairman, is that the report be made in the same manner as reports under 004 and will not in any way allow for the violation of confidentiality under 433.008. That was my intention.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mannix, could we even delete that?
We could delete
probably
that,
could.
Sure. That'll make it even clearer.
That would make, and I think you could still do the rest of the bill that remains, and then I think that would take care of Representative Bauman's concern.
Sure.
Pretty clear on that.
So we're deleting reference to 433.004.
Portability, right.
Just report in any way that the division tells you to do it. And that way they can do rules on how you report it. And I assume they'll use the same pattern, but then I understand Representative Bowden's concern, but we're not trying to suggest that the 008 section is going to apply here at all.
Well, actually, let me ask a follow-up question.
Representative Bowden.
Then council and also to the health division representatives who are here, there was a requirement made in 1989 in 430.920 sub 2 on reporting. It said the local administrator shall use forms prescribed by the health division and shall send copies of the forms in any compilation. Maybe those are the forms that we should use here.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm
going to suggest that what's going to happen here, though, is this is why I want the bill to come back after the conceptual amendments so that we have it all written down and then we can double-check on these cross-references.
I'd like a cross-reference to those forms because I think that we've already got a reporting form in existing statute.
Okay. I agree with you, Representative Bauman. I'd like to see it. Just so the committee knows, we will bring this bill back on
Wednesday or Friday
this week to deal with it in final fashion so we can see what's in front of us. I mean, I think we're making good work, and theoretically we could probably push this out conceptually, but I think it'd probably be helpful to see it.
Now, in fact, I part of my motion is I really do want us to come back and reread the whole thing rewritten because of all these complications, but I want us to have, I hope, the design plan for the train of some sort.
Drop the
dash threes. We wouldn't use those.
We don't need the dash threes.
If you want, in front of us.
We don't need the dash threes. Going into the dash fours, then.
Representative Bell.
Representative Bell.
On that same light, I would prefer Friday to Wednesday, and I would prefer to have it in my hand before I come to committee so that I can really sit down and go through all of these and make sure.
So demanding.
Bring it back Friday.
Yeah, so Wednesday may be a little quick if we're going to come and find it on our desk here.
And Representative Bell still reads the bills. That's the problem. All right.
On the dash four, and it's already stated in law.
You keep reading them, too.
The only part of the dash four that I'm proposing to use is the part that, again, which is lines 16 through 19, that every licensed physician, et cetera, shall inform the patient about potential health effects of controlled substances and alcohol in the development of a fetus. This is an information requirement. I'm not sure if that duplicates something that's presently in law. If so, we should interface with that. But this is a requirement of an education requirement for patients. Now,
right. And is there no need, question, Representative Mannix, is there no need for any kind of specific consent form?
My proposal would be that we would not have a specific consent form.
Okay. All right, then you would probably keep the dash six amendments.
So what was his proposal on
so dash four? Is just
line 16 through 19 of the dash four. Probably want to keep the dash six.
We keep the dash six. The idea there being reporting, training, and assessment features of the bill should not become operative unless there is funding for training, assessment, and treatment. That's the notion there. On the dash seven, we would be adopting part of it. We would drop out the last part about lines 13 and 14 because that's...
Right.
not necessary. And we would adopt the first part, which talks about developing a standardized risk assessment, which is the first line tool. And the training sessions for health professionals on how to do this risk assessment. And the third part is requiring that they perform that assessment. That ties in again with what we did on Dash 1. We blend those two together.
Representative Mannix, I wonder, too, if there is some way in the folks from the Health Division maybe can help us on this. I wonder if there's some way, or the Office of Alcohol and Drugs, some way to compile this into a data form so that we can have this information and have a report to somebody, the legislature or the governor or somebody, the governor's task force.
Forfeiture Oversight Committee.
No, not the Forfeiture Oversight Committee.
Well, actually, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
Another thought that occurred to me looking at the progress that we made in just considering the problem was that last session we requested the Legislative Fiscal Office to provide to us assessments of how a variety of titles in state government were providing resources to address the same needs. Maybe what we would want to consider is adding not necessarily a separate report to the legislature, but maybe we ought to consider adding the request that the legislature compile its own report based upon communication from the health division.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, and that's kind of the direction I'm going. Representative Mannix.
Well, I like all of that, but the big but here is we're trying to stay away from any kind of documentation whatsoever, and until we get our feet on the ground with a program that's moving with confidentiality assured to the participants, I'm real nervous about talking about any kind of data collection effort the first couple of years. And I'd want to see something that's packaged in such a way that it won't undermine getting this program going. We've heard enough, I think, from various sources about the evident need. And there is already some data out there in terms of identified drug-affected infants. But what I'm saying is it's not part of the package right now, and right. It's just something we haven't addressed.
Okay.
The last part of this is the sub-8,
Dash 8. Oh.
Well, I do not support a mandatory report back to the legislature because we don't know who the next assembly is going to be. And I've been involved in some reports back to the mandatory interim reports that literally fell on deaf ears. I do think, though, that, and Council, I'd like to ask you this, is there anything in this bill, if enacted, as sort of along the lines that Representative Mannix has proposed, which would prevent an interim committee or a future legislative committee from requesting that the Health Division provide general data on the number of cases? We have very strict confidentiality here. But if we just want numbers.
That's all I'm talking about.
They're not prevented.
I don't see there's anything to prevent.
And we could put in a provision that makes it clear they're not prevented from providing data.
Right.
Despite the confidentiality.
And then I think that we should, you know, it's sort of like they say, you know, you can force an idiot to water, but you can't keep him from drowning. Well, we can't stop a future legislature from investigating this, nor should we. On the other hand, we can't force them to investigate it unless they want to. So I think that I just want to make sure the data, the Health Division can get up and say, under the 1991 legislation, we can't give you that information.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mann.
The last part would be the Dash 8 amendments. With some minor modification, we're talking about participating in any judicial or administrative proceeding, I'd add, just as Representative Edmondson had suggested before. And that's the liability protection.
All right. Representative Mannix, thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Or
judicial or administrative. Well,
where are you? Oh,
judicial covers criminal, I hope.
Got it. I didn't see.
First of all, Representative Mannix, I want to thank you for the initiative to piece that together. And
Mr.
I want to thank the whole working group for...
What did we do to 7? What was 7?
Coming up with
7?
That.
Just the lines 2 through 5?
Dash 7 is just... No, dash 7 The proposal was everything except lines 13 and 14, I believe.
Except 13 and 14.
A question on the dash 8.
Representative Bell had a question, and then Representative Baumann.
I have a question of Representative Mannix on the dash 4 amendments. I would just like to know why he felt we should not include the informed consent and the portion about public services not being denied if someone refuses to have the testing done.
Because we're not requiring testing. And if it's not being required, then I'd say any testing that may be done as an option is a matter of, we've heard testimony about it being physician-patient relationship. It's up to the physician to get consent for any tests that are administered, and we're just going to let the regular physician-patient relationship apply in terms of consent without creating a whole new body of law and forms. And by the way, the forms themselves will, if particularly since we're not requiring testing, the forms will scare people away if the doctor does think in a given case that a given test is appropriate, saying I want you to fill out this form saying that all kinds of terrible things are not going to happen to you will conjure up images of terrible things.
How about the part about denying services?
Well, there's no need for that because they can refuse to, well, I don't mind putting in, well, we're not mandating the test, so what should we do to anyone who refuses the test? It's not mandated. And that denial of services part was only for if we were going to mandate the test. How's that for an answer?
I'll think about it now that you've
Representative Baumann.
On the dash 8, lines 4 and 5, why do we want to give immunity with respect to participating in a judicial proceeding resulting from a report which we have just established is not to be used in any judicial or administrative proceeding? I think, on the other hand, the liability there would be the same liability that any professional would encounter when they breached a confidence.
I think that's a good point. We should take that whole sentence out.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I missed that. I agree completely.
Okay. Good
okay.
Point. Can I raise one more point?
Caught a Scribner's error.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative.
Never mind.
Perhaps this is. Perhaps we've already addressed this. I didn't hear it if we did. Back on dash 7, the assessment, alcohol and drug risk assessment.
Where are you?
Back on dash 7, assessment to be conducted within 10 days of first seeing the patient. Is that timeline in 10 days?
Current law.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Further questions about the proposal? If not, then here's what I'm going to ask for. I'm going to ask Representative Mannix to move that proposal as a conceptual amendment for purposes of creating a working document. And the committee, Representative Mannix makes that motion, and the committee, by voting for this motion, you are not marrying yourself to the bill forever, only as for purposes of a working document that we can go from on Friday.
Just sort of like going steady?
Just like going steady.
Right. No, we're pinned.
We're pinned.
We're pinned.
Are there objections to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Further business on House Bill 2388. Committee, that's an excellent job. I appreciate the hard work. If you would, committee, we will come back to this bill in a printed version on Friday. The only other thing to come from the committee is
whatever you guys want.
For committee members and for those in the audience who would like to participate, I'm going to hand out a midterm survey on the chair's performance. I'd appreciate an anonymous filling out of the form. This is
75 days yet.
And with any success at all, you will be seeing similar forms in your other committees as well. So anything further to come in front of the subcommittee? We adjourn.